Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Final hour, Warriors this week. John Dickinson, Nick Friedel, 888-957-9570. Let's get to some phone calls. Let's start with Coach in Vallejo this segment. Coach, you're up here on Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Coach.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Great show. And what I wanted to say is maybe I'm the head of the Andrew Wiggins fan club, because he is probably the only 5-tool guy on the Warriors that can put something in every box score. He's the best shot blocker on the team by far. He's consistent with his points. He made a great block on Zubac the other day that might have won the game. And far as the Jordan Poole thing is, he is not physically ready yet. He is a very soft, very weak player. And Sandy and the Clippers, they just pushed him around. And Kerr had to play Damian Lee because physically – Jordan Poole could not stand up to that rugged play, so I think we're anointing Jordan Poole way too early. Damian Lee has actually played more minutes than him this year out of a necessity, because you know what you're going to get out of D. Lee. But back to Wiggins, I like his consistency. Everybody can score 25 points a game. And when you have a Steph, if you get a consistent 18 to 20 out of Wiggins with 7 rebounds and 2 blocks, that's great, and I think he does that well.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it. Like, solid for Wiggins is okay. As far as Poole, yeah, the Clippers did ragdoll him, and I think you're going to see other teams try to do that. And it's a potential problem. That's part of growing up in the league, though.
You've got to be able to take that turn, take that step. Steph mentioned this, JD, and it was – I'm pretty sure it was Steph, and it was important. Poole is now on every scouting report. And when you get to that point, things start to shift, and they can shift quickly, because what that means is that you're seeing a hell of a lot of bodies all the time. And do I think that Jordan Poole needs to bulk up a little bit over the course of the next couple summers? 100%. But to say that he's frail, I mean, the dude is who he is. He's coming in to knock down a bunch of shots, and he's coming in to really stabilize that second unit at times in the second and fourth. So it's going to be an adjustment for Jordan. He's got to go at defenses a little bit differently, but this is now the equivalent, again, to use a baseball analogy. This is the minor leaguer who has dominated, who's come up in his first stint and really made an impact. Well, then everybody learns how to pitch differently to him. And he starts showing up on all the advanced scout reports. And the same thing's going on with Jordan Poole. He is going to see body after body after body to not allow him to get going. If he adjusts, everything else sets up very nicely for the Warriors in that second group.
It definitely does. And I think, you know, as far as we had a texter that pointed this out, and to Coach's call, like, Damian Lee is a nice safety valve for this team, for, you know, just given the current situation. All right, Poole's out there, but you got somebody like that's part of quality depth. You know, having a guy like Damian Lee in the role that he's in this year, I think, and especially in the role that he'll have once Klay Thompson comes back, when you again start to funnel it out and put people down the depth chart. Like, that's some action compared to Damian Lee 2 years ago, where it's like, oh, wow, he's like the second best player on the team. Or even last year, where he had to play every single game a lot when he was healthy.
There's a difference between having to play and earning to play on a talented roster. And that's where we are right now. And JD, you and I have been talking about Damian Lee for several years at this point. He has earned everything he's gotten in this league. He has poured work into trying to make it from a two-way guy to an NBA player. Well, guess what? He is now. The question for D. Lee moving forward this year is, can he be the type of NBA player that is a difference maker in some facet of the game every night? And through two games, the answer has been yes. And through times last season, the answer has been yes. But he's got to show that he can be relied upon in the rotation for Steve Kerr to keep himself in the spot he's in now. But if he does, it goes back to what we've been saying throughout the entirety of the program here. You have a deep team that is only going to be reliant on the veteran players to be difference makers. And Damian Lee at this stage of his career is one of those guys. And the Warriors believe with more minutes and more reps, he's going to be one of the guys they can lean on a lot off that bench.
Yeah, 29 minutes in both games to this point because they've needed him. And he's helped them in both of those games to a certain extent. So I think that we're starting to get to the point where maybe, and I'll just admit this, maybe I underrated their depth a little bit. I mean, look, we're two games in, but I also think you have to factor, hey, Moody and Kuminga aren't going to play very much, and Wiseman may not play very much, and when Clay comes back, that's another level of depth to where, you know, maybe Moody's not playing at all. Like, there's more areas where Steve Kerr can turn, I think, once this thing is whole. But then the flip side to that is it probably, because it's an NBA season and there's always injuries, it never will be whole. For a lot of teams, it isn't. But Steve Kerr's going to have some options to pick and choose from if he is down a couple of guys, as long as it's not 30.
That's – oh, God, please no. That's the answer, though, and that's the key word, options. Kerr has options. Kerr and his staff can choose which direction they want to go. That has not been the case the last 2 years. After Steph got hurt, it was a bunch of young guys all the way. Now, all of a sudden, last year, you couldn't turn to guys that you could trust all the time. It's apparent this year that the talent pool on the roster is a little deeper than we've seen it. But they've got to be able to keep up and maintain that consistency in order to keep looking like the team we're seeing right now.
Let's get to Cooper El Sobrani. Cooper, you're on 95.7 The Game. What's up, Cooper?
Hey, fellas. Really good to be with you this morning. It's always a joy to be rolling around doing errands on a Saturday. Dive on the Dubs. I love it. Hey, I was blessed enough to be at the game on Thursday. Ponied up for some lower bowl tickets with my dad, and you know, it was good to be there. It took a little while to file in, though, right? And we're sitting down there in the lower bowl, maybe halfway through the first or towards the end of the first, this group of like corporate type walks in this like glassed off section and sits down, and they're not wearing a shred of Warriors gear, and I'm going like, what's happened, you know? But I can tell you, the last 6 minutes of the fourth, if I closed my eyes, it almost felt like I was back at Roracle, so that felt hella good. But I just wanted to say, you know, as fun as it was to watch Steph in that first quarter, it almost feels like it kind of hamstrung us for the next 2.5 quarters, right? Because when he's cooking that much, he's trying to find that the rest of that game. And through the next 2.5 quarters, he's getting double-teamed, and he's waiting too long to get rid of the ball. He's turning it over. There's not enough time left in the clock for us to get it over to the weak side and have some movement work for us. And it's just frustrating as a fan. And I don't know what you do as a coach, you know, when you're coming back off a timeout. Do you tell Steph, back it out, hand it off to Draymond, run along the baseline, come out, get a three, something like that, to tell him to get the ball out of his hands? Because that's obviously what needs to happen. And this has been a problem for years.
Nope. Thanks, Cooper. It's on Cooper drop there. Look, at times, at times Steph does turn it over, and at times when he doesn't see that type of defense for a certain period of time, it takes a little. There's a little adjustment period to him getting used to how he needs to get rid of it and how they want to attack it. But anytime they've gone through one of those stretches, they work through it and they end up destroying teams in times of consequence when they really want to defend him that way.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a short-term fit. Like, I get why Ty Lue had to do it, and he's done it in the past, and they've tried to be physical with him. All of Ty Lue's teams that he's coached, they've tried to be physical with him. Like, I understand all of that. But anytime you start to defend Steph when he's rolling like that, the way that it's a short-term fix, because if you try to do it, say, over a series or over a stretch of games, they'll just eat you alive in every other way. And oh, by the way, Steph will still get shots because they'll get the ball back to him.
Did you see that release of the last two threes
yes.
at the end of that game?
Exactly.
The release is just completely ridiculous. The release is unbelievable with how quick he can get it off with a short amount of space.
And the first one was indefensible anyway because it was from so far out.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, there's no defense. Like, that's just, if he's going to take that shot, You're just not going to defend that shot. It's either make or miss.
You are not defending what's coming at you. And JD, I think you are absolutely right. If you want to make a switch here and there, could it throw him off his game? Could you stop him or stunt him for one game? Sure. We saw it with the box and one last year. Indiana's coming in here running a box and one. Steph's like, what the hell is this? Just give him time.
Yeah,
I remember talking to Ken Bazemore last year, and Bazemore was saying, these teams, they don't understand. You want to keep running the same look at Steph Curry all the time, he's going to figure out a way to beat you. So it's only a matter of time as he adjusts that he'll find the right way. The key for them is who else steps up offensively to help, especially in this absence still of Klay Thompson. And it all, to me, goes back to Jordan Poole and if he shows he's ready or not to take that challenge.
Yeah, and sometimes it's going to be Poole. I think sometimes it's going to maybe need to be Wiggins, although don't expect it. Like we've said, Bielitsa in the Lakers game gave him, like, wow. And that's the thing with Bielitsa. Like, Bielitsa is going to have games like that Laker, like, he's going to have a handful of games where he's just on and he's making every shot. And wow, oh my God, like, Bielitsa just hit four threes. Like, that's, like, he's going to have games like that. That's not going to be every night at that level. It was a hell of a debut, but he's had games like that throughout his career. And I think playing him at the five, you know, I asked him about that on media day, and because I didn't initially think why did they sign him? And then it was like, did they sign him to play the five? Like, that was sort of part of the discussion. And yeah, the answer to that is yes. And
yes.
And that's a game changer. Like, he's just a much more impactful player on this team if he can play the five.
Not only is he going to be an impactful player down the stretch of the season, JD, but when he starts tossing the ball the way he did to Wiggins, the way we saw certainly
he's a good passer
in that Laker game, he is going to stretch the floor so much more. And you hate to keep going back to last year and some of the flaws we saw, but why did Kelly Oubre not work offensively? It was because he didn't know how to make that extra pass on a regular basis, and he didn't know that you can play off Steph even when Steph doesn't have the ball. You've got to keep moving. You've got to keep running through the offense. Bielitsa, and I'd say Porter too, although he hasn't had much of an impact so far to start in the regular season, they know what to do, and that is crucial and is the reason why the Warriors have hit the ground running the way that they have.
Let's go to Robin in San Francisco. Hey, Robin, how are you? Welcome back.
Hey, you guys, are you two back?
We are back.
The Robin.
Hey, yeah, sugar, how you been? You've been on vacation.
I'm back now. Let's go, baby.
And JD, I wonder where you were at. I was looking you up on the internet to make sure that you hadn't quit coming on the show, and I was getting all kind of John Dickersons. I said, Lord, I hope common name right there. Anybody can steal your identity. But anyway,
Robin, there are a lot more. You know what? I'm gonna give you on that one a bit. There are a lot more John Dickinsons in the world than you think. Like that, than I thought. That's funny you mentioned that. That's hilarious. I've learned that through my years.
Yeah, I'm like, this is not the John Dickinson I'm looking for. And then somebody else would pop up. I'm like, Lord have mercy, this is a common name. But anyway, guys, so I want to just do a little compare and contrast briefly. So what I noticed in the first game was that they were cutting, moving, looking for the open man, and like, you guys were saying they seemed to know where people were going to be. I saw a little less than that in the second game, especially I don't even quite know what the second unit is yet because, you know, I was trying to figure out. I think he's still trying to figure out rotations. I could be wrong. But they seemed less of where they knew where to be on the floor. Okay, a lot of times when Steph came down the floor, and the last caller had a good point, he waited too late to give up the ball. But then you would notice that they were down. There are a lot of Warrior players were down. Nobody there, and you'd be trapped. So they weren't getting back in transition. When you took Draymond off the floor, or if you had Iggy off the floor, if you had less playmakers, which they don't have many on that floor, they didn't seem to know where to go, where to be. A lot of times Draymond would throw a pass to someone, and they weren't there in that spot. I saw a lot of that going on, and just wanted to see if that's what you guys saw, too. Peace out, and use your middle initial, John, because you got a dangerous name, sweetheart.
Oh, you know, it's funny. I do, Robin. I do for sure. So I appreciate the nod on that, and I do only because my father is also John. Speaking of more John Dickinsons, my father's
also
John.
John Dickinsons,
but different middle initial.
Okay,
so that was always kind of the differentiation was use the middle initial.
You got to do what you got to do
on paper for paperwork.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But yeah, I'll let
Robin looking out for you.
Robin always looking out. Robin looking out for us.
Like the new season is now upon us.
Now it's official.
Robin has christened the show for the first
exactly.
time. As far as the lack of ball movement in game two and taking some of those guys off the floor, I think what we've seen here is a team that's still learning how to play with each other. Even if we acknowledge, JD, that Bielitsa and certainly Andre and Porter, they all know how to play the Warriors' way, they're still learning how to play with the group that they've got. The Stephs, the Draymonds, the Loonies when he's out there, Wiggins, everybody's adjusting to the new roster and the new pieces in play, and that'll take a little bit of time, but I think what we've seen as far as the possibilities go are very strong for a group that can come together much quicker and can continue to build on what they've done whenever Clay is to return.
No question. And the ball movement has been, I think, not there as much in game two, but overall, it's going to be easier for them to function in that manner this season as far as flow and things like that. To see it at that level without Clay and then to think Clay's coming back, and it goes in line with the pieces fitting, which I think is big time. It's just that's the thing we may look back on as this season goes on if the Warriors are successful and we go, damn, okay, like Bob Myers and staff and everybody, you know what? They weren't the sexiest moves and biggest names, but maybe it's working out.
The early returns are good.
Yeah. And look, we're two in.
But let's see, because I think the biggest issue that you and I had in the immediate aftermath of these signings were what kind of impact can Andre give you night to night? And what is he able to offer? And two games in, he's been really good.
Somebody said to me, by the way, just to jump in on you on Andre real quick, somebody sent me a text like, oh, look at Andre. I won't reveal. Like, oh, look at Andre, the two TNT games. It's like,
he knows.
Like, what's that going to be? Like, what's that going to be in Sacramento on Sunday?
He always knows.
Does he even make the trip to Sacramento, Oklahoma City?
No, you know the game, and Kerr mentioned several times now, they've got to find some space for Andre in the schedule. The game for Andre to take off and not even go to is Oklahoma City.
Right.
Don't even take the trip.
Yeah, you can take the bus ride to Sac.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Or drive up, or
right,
whatever you want to do.
Take your car, drive up to Sac, drive back.
And do whatever you want.
You're done. You're done for a
few
days.
See you Thursday.
Right, exactly. Give yourself like 3 or 4 days and just lay low. But the difference is, and this is why all this has to play out, the difference is that Andre, right now, he looks great. He looks refreshed. His body looks like he's prepared himself for the season. Great. We're in game two. Otto Porter hadn't had much of an impact, but he looks like he's in better physical condition. Looks like he's put a lot of time into getting his body back right. We're in game two. Those are two guys who have had problems, much more so in Porter's case, but issues staying on the floor. With Andre, it was more in Miami. It just wasn't giving you much. If he can maintain close to where he's at right now, the Warriors have a huge steal, because not only do they have Andre Iguodala and all the basketball acumen that comes with that, they have a guy who signed at a vet minimum who could be a real difference maker off their bench.
Let's go to City Boy in San Francisco. Hey, City Boy.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm doing a little shopping, and I love listening to you guys talk hoops, man. It's just so much good knowledge, really enjoyable. Listen, I just wanted to chime in. I'm super excited for the season. I think sky's the limit for this team, especially, you know, Otto Porter basically has hardly played in like the last 2-3 years. I think it's going to take him 20-30 games to really, really kind of find himself again, you know, and it's going to be great because between him and Andre both needing a blow, a night off here and there, they can kind of spell each other, you know, because they're very similar players, with Otto being maybe a little better of a marksman, but I think that this roster was put together so phenomenally well, and I think we're going to see that as the season goes on and Wiseman comes back and Clay comes back hopefully healthy. And by June, by, you know, May, June next year, boy, it's going to, this team could be really scary. I wanted to chime in on one thing, kind of put the rat on the table, as Goo likes to say, and say, Ben Simmons, man, his price has to be dropping. I mean, I know Daryl Morey is trying to be, a little kind of obtuse and ignore kind of the fact that, you know, like kind of like what happened with Harden and the Rockets last year. Like, eventually they gave him up for nothing. And I just want to say, like, I'm not some huge Ben Simmons guy, but that dude can ball. I mean, he can ball. And if there was some way to get him on this team, and even if it was to give up a Wiggins, I don't think we could give up a Draymond, because I just don't think Steph would allow it. But I'll tell you what, I'd take Ben Simmons on this team in a heartbeat, and I think he pushes us over the top, and we win the title if he's over here. So that's just my two cents. But thanks for taking my call, guys.
Yeah, appreciate it, City Boy. I mean, I've been more open-minded than most on Ben Simmons, and even to the extent of, I actually think if you have the right other three players on the court, the Ben Simmons and Draymond thing doesn't bug me as much as it does. There's a lot of real smart basketball people that we both talk to that can't work, shouldn't even try it. I push back on that a little bit, but the act, the way that this thing is playing out, like, I need a breather from Ben Simmons, man. Like, I need a breather. Like, I don't – talk to me next summer or something about Ben. Like, I just don't – there's no way I'm looking to shoehorn Ben Simmons into what I got going on right now.
Especially with the way it looks at the present time. But, J.D., In all fairness to our discussion here, I'm with you. If the price was right for the acquisition of Ben Simmons, I would probably do it. But Morey, not only in his public comments, but in the way in which he's handled the summer, it seems very clear he is not going to just move Ben Simmons to get a headache out of there. He wants significant returns back. And For where the Warriors are and where they need to be, I think Simmons could be that difference maker, but I wouldn't sacrifice every single solitary young piece in order to make that happen.
No, I wouldn't either, and it's just from a basketball standpoint, I think, look, if you are a willing passer and you can defend at the level that he defends at, and you're a good rebounder, and you're an excellent defender, You can figure out how to play on a team that is selfless and has a bunch of shooting. So I like that. But all the other stuff, I finally reached my tipping point with all the other stuff. With now I'm not feeling well, and now I'm like, it just, and look, I know he just doesn't want to be there, and if he's not there, then it changes. And yeah, Morey's trying to salvage any semblance of value that he can. Like, I get all that, but I need a Ben Simmons breather, I guess, if that makes sense at this point.
You aren't alone.
888-957-9570. We'll come back. Final segment straight ahead right here. Warriors This Week, 95.7 The Game.
Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Final segment. It's our premiere show for the 2021-22 season. Yeah, that's right. We're back. Warriors This Week. John Dickinson, Nick Friedell. We're with you every Saturday here for the duration of this season. Warriors at 2-0. It's so funny, just running through the text line here during the break. Every time we've mentioned, and we've run through the Warriors roster to open the show, or to open the season here, and our season full of shows, every time we've mentioned one player that's filling a role, and well, what happens if this guy goes out? Somebody inevitably will pop up on the text line and mention somebody else. And three or four times today, I've thought, oh, we haven't mentioned so-and-so. At first it was Iguodala, and then we hadn't mentioned Wiggins, which was actually kind of appropriate until about halfway through the show. We haven't really talked about JTA. And it's like the 707, I think Porter and JTA they've been, yes, less used, but you know, they can fill in when Andre's out. Or so I don't know about Porter for Andre. I think Porter's a big and not a wing now, especially now. I almost view Porter as like Bielitsa insurance in a way, just kind of the way he's played some 4-5. But yeah, JTA is somebody that if you can play him every night if you want, but even he is the kind of guy, and he proved it last year, he's probably at his most successful when he's a, you know, break glass when needed. Like he was awesome in that role, and this team may be deep enough to where he has a little bit more of a role like that.
And if you're believing again in the promise of what you've seen to date, JD, you're believing that in JTA's best case scenario, he is exactly that type of player. Juan was used so often last year in the second half of that season, and he played, for the most part, very well. Very well. But when you have better options and players who can shoot it more consistently from the outside and who have had more experience in the league, frankly, that's what you do. It's not to discredit what Juan did last year, and it's not to say that he can't help this year in the right role, but there's just more talented options around Steve Kerr and his rotation right now than running Juan out there 20, 25 minutes a night.
And 12 minutes in the first game against the Lakers and 7 in the game against the Clippers. So he's played 19 minutes, 20 minutes basically combined in the two games. He's the kind of guy that could play 8 minutes or play 25, depending upon the night, and be effective.
Yeah.
So I think that's just like, that's not a knock on him. That's a good thing. It's a nice problem to have if you're the Warriors as you shuffle pieces around, and he's versatile.
And he will always do what's best for the team.
And he'll always be ready.
And he'll always be ready to roll. And that is a skill at this level of the game. To be able every night to be a professional and to be ready when your number is called upon, because you and I both know that there are plenty of players that aren't ready every night and you aren't sure what you're getting every night. You know you're getting that effort and intensity from Juan, and you know that when he can do it, he will provide a little bit of a jolt to your team, and in the meantime, he will handle himself off the floor and put in the work to be ready when his moment arrives.
Still time to sneak in some phone calls here, 888-957-9570. That's where GT checks in. GT, Santa Clara, 95.7 The Game.
Hey, what's up, guys? I want to talk about your earlier section when you talked about Ben Simmons. So I don't know. I want to get your feedback on this. So it seems kind of strange that all of a sudden I think they said he has a back spasm or some sort of injury. I don't know, I'm looking at it from, like, the sidelines. I'm kind of thinking maybe that's kind of like their way of kind of letting both sides kind of save face a little bit, because instead of suspending him where he doesn't get paid, if they put him on this sort of injury list, I think he still gets paid, but he still doesn't get to sort of play with the team to in a way negatively affect sort of their chemistry, right?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what's going on. I think that's
right. They're
trying to figure it out, but thanks for the call, GT, and I'll bring you back into this, Nick. There's also, I think, an expectation, especially coming off of yesterday and their collaborative, you know, meeting of the minds with everybody involved, that hey, you get healthy and you need to be playing until we figure this out.
There is a reason why Tobias Harris sent out the tweet, JD, that said, hey, we stand behind Ben. He's with us. That's all I'm going to say about this anymore. And there's a reason why Joel Embiid got on the mic the other night in front of all those Philly fans and said, hey, Ben is our brother. And he has changed his public stance from where it was. They are walking into this now believing that Ben Simmons will play games for the Sixers and will be back in the fold. And how long that lasts, nobody knows, but it's probably going to happen. So I don't think there's any question that when everybody sat down and went, all right, we gotta see how this unfolds, we need you to be ready to roll. The point to Ben Simmons was made. You get healthy, you want to get paid, you got to play, and you got to play for us as we figure out the rest of it.
Absolutely. And I think on the back end, while probably no promise was made, on the back end, Ben Simmons has to just look at it as, all right, they'll get me out of here.
Yeah.
But it's going to be, they'll get me out of here, and I want that, but it's going to be on their terms how it happens.
I can't just sit in the corner and pout and still get paid and force my way out.
Exactly. Bobby in Oakland is up next here. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, good to have you guys back. It feels good to have the season going, especially with the Warriors jumping off here. Hey, I wanted to talk about Poole and Wiseman, but real quick, I love the stance that Philly's taking. Just not letting a player who has 3 or 4 years left on his deal just to walk out and dictate terms. I mean, I'm tired of all that. I'm glad they're holding firm on that from that standpoint. But just wanted to say about Poole. Yeah, he's going through it. He's getting bumped off the screen. He's taking shots, but it's going to make him that much more valuable and tougher to guard once he gets through that. Gets more mentally tough on that end and continue to come back and take his shots. And when later in the year, when it goes to the second unit, that's just going to make the bench so much stronger. I'm excited about that. And then with Wiseman, real quick, I'm so excited for Wiseman. I mean, I remember that looks like a 10 or 12 game stretch. Curry kind of simplified the offense a little bit, and I just saw levels of dominance that can just come as long as he continues to play. He's got to work on his hands, but I'm so excited about him. I'm looking forward to, because that's going to send reverberations around the league once Wiseman gets caught up to speed. So I just want to get you guys' thoughts.
Yeah, appreciate it, Bobby. Look, Jordan Poole's the one guy on this team right now that's good enough to play and develop.
Yep.
He's the one guy in that, like, Kuminga's not there, Moody's not there, even Wiseman is not fully there, although I think they are going to carve out some minutes for him because,
they're going to make it so that he's there.
Number two pick,
right.
Like, you got to play at least a little bit to get better, although they want him to certainly earn the minutes. But Poole is the one guy he's young, he's able to contribute on a level where he can help you, but he's also going to take his lumps in his own way, and you just have to allow him to play through it. The question for Wiseman, though, Nick, is how long is it going to take and how much is it going to sort of look like last year before he figures it out once he does get healthy and get back in line?
That is a gigantic, gigantic question. And JD, as much as the Warriors outwardly are trying to spin it that James is putting in all this work, we're getting him in front of the video machines and he's watching all these clips. Nothing, and I think even Steve Kerr, Bob Myers would acknowledge the same, nothing is quite like game reps. Nothing is quite like being out there. And that's why you and I are in agreement that James Wiseman is going to have to play and do something this year. The issue, though, is I'm just not sure what the expectation should be because to your question, I think it's going to take a while. I think it's going to take a long time for James Wiseman to feel comfortable in what he's being asked to do with regularity on the floor. And it's a comfort level that he did not hit much last season. There were games that you saw the talent, and there were games you look like, oh, it's starting to come together. And then there were other games where he just looked completely lost on the floor. And that's where the change has to come, is you can't, for a team that wants to at least try to contend again for a title, you can't have any players out there who are unsure of where to be.
And if he's going to play, somebody else is not going to play. And I'm just looking at the first two games here, and I'm thinking, where would that be? Who's right. not going to play if James Wiseman is going to play?
Yep.
I mean, it's tough. I mean, Bielitsa in the first game, major factor. He wasn't going to be taking his minutes in that game necessarily. I mean, maybe it's some Otto Porter. Maybe it's some JTA.
I want to say Looney, but Looney is so beloved and knows exactly where to be. It'll never be Looney, even in 15 or 20 minutes.
Well, and maybe, and I look at Looney. I mean, Looney played 15 and 14 in the first two games. So they were, using other players even in that spot. So I kind of wonder, because I don't think he's going to start unless he really earns it, talking about Wiseman.
I don't think he's going to start.
Yeah. It's just not. Now, maybe if there's an injury and you have to, and he earns it. Like it would be twofold. There would have to be an injury, and you would have to prove that he's worthy. Like we're not going to see what we saw at the beginning of last year, where it was, yeah, let's start him. Let's start him. Let's put him out there with Steph. Let's see how it goes, because that was pretty ugly.
Well, and
even in games where he actually had a decent stat line, like right, those first couple of games were, oh my God, he's making threes. And
you're right. You're looking at him. He's dribbling down the floor like, oh my gosh, whoa. But JD, that's part of the issue with Wiseman. I think the biggest disservice they did to his confidence, Steve Kerr and the coaching staff last year, was they were juggling him in and out of the starting lineup. Remember, he was in the starting lineup, and then they pulled him, and then they were like, oh, let's plug him back in and let's see. And then Wiseman missed that COVID test. Yeah. It was just so up and down. James Wiseman needs to know that he can contribute early. And I take Kerr at his word. He said, we are going to simplify things for Wiseman so that he knows when he gets on the floor, we're only asking him to do a couple different things. If he can complete those tasks, then they're going to give him some more. And they're going to add to what he's already got going on. But so much of what happened early for Wiseman was the Warriors thought he could pick everything up at a very high level and be able to make it work on the court. And he couldn't. And he struggled. And he just needs some more time to learn the system and what is being asked of him.
Early look at the Western Conference here. And I do want to come back. Before we do that, actually, we got about 5 minutes to go here. Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game. Biggest flaw to this point. That was one of those questions we got earlier that we've touched on in a roundabout way, but in a more direct way. Biggest flaw for this team. I would say size and physicality, maybe.
Yeah, but those rebounding numbers, baby.
But exactly.
Size and physicality, and I'd say on a broader issue, it's the same flaw that we saw a lot last season. It's the unbelievable reliance on Steph Curry. Because there are going to be games, as we saw on Thursday against the Clippers, when he gets rolling early, unbelievable. When he gets rolling late, incredible. But he is being asked to do too much sometimes. I think part of it was he just got really hot late in that game. And JD, we've been saying it throughout the show. This team appears a few games in to be more to be deeper than what we've seen before. Are they? Or did Steph just have another magical performance that made everybody kind of look past, well, Jordan Poole really struggled, and Bielitsa, after a really good game in the opener, didn't have nearly as much of an impact. Otto Porter hasn't really had much of an impact yet. Andre had another nice game. But are you trusting that what you're seeing from that bench is enough to help push Steph to take the pressure off of him? It did shooting-wise on Tuesday. It did not on Thursday. And as far as a flaw moving forward, that would be what would scare me on top of the lack of size that you mentioned, is that if you start relying on Steph too much, especially early, you run the risk of wearing him out down the stretch of what is a much longer year this time around.
And I think the point that also needs to be brought up is, and it's one that many have, but just how paramount health is going to be for this team.
It's huge.
Because we can talk about depth and it looks better and the pieces fit better. There's two different kinds of depth, right? There's depth when you have everybody that looks good and all the pieces fit. And then there's depth when you lose somebody and somebody else has to start and somebody else is not playing. Like, that's the kind of depth where if the wrong guys go down, I think the Warriors could be in trouble. Same with any team, but I think some teams are better equipped to handle that than others. The Warriors really, I think, can't afford still to lose Steph or even Draymond. Maybe they can afford Wiggins a little bit more now than last year because they've got some depth. But Steph and Draymond are the two, especially Steph. You lose him, there ain't no amount of depth that's going to save you.
It's the scariest part about what we saw last year and seeing it again in that Clippers game. He can't go down for any length. He can miss a game or two, and he's going to have to.
It's like last year.
Absolutely.
He played 63 out of 72, and I think one of them was planned. Maybe two of them were even planned. So I think he missed maybe seven or eight due to injury.
Yeah. It's and a lot of it was that weird, freakish falling backwards right. in Houston on his tailbone. Oh, I'm gone for 2 weeks.
So 63 of 72 needs to be 70 of 82, let's just
that
say.
That is exactly the number. For the Warriors to be where the Warriors want to be this year, JD, it's got to be 70 because you can't have him off the floor more than that. And the thing that scares me, and knock on wood, the thing that scares me is when you go into the age 34 season that Steph is now walking into, you're just asked to do so much. And can his body maintain that with how many minutes he's going to be asked to play and how much he's going to be asked to do on a nightly basis?
Yeah, 70's the number, and you're hoping if the other 12, you're hoping you go 4-8.
Yep.
And not 1-11. And I do think shorter term this Warriors team is better equipped to be able to handle it here and there, maybe better than they were last year. But no chance for any semblance of an extended stretch. We've got about a minute here to go in the program. Whitey and Shamari are coming up next. They got you covered throughout the afternoon here, so keep it locked on 95.7 The Game. We talked a lot about the Lakers. Anybody else? Two teams I'm really leery of in the West, Portland and Dallas. Portland, to me, they're a play-in tournament team this year. Like, I just think they're not going to be better defensively. They're not going to be as good offensively. They didn't change anything other than the coaching staff. I'm leery about, like, I already think, hey, the Warriors could be better than both those teams. Anybody pop in the Western Conference, good or bad, so far, other than the Lakers who we touched on?
I still am a believer in Denver. And people look at me and they're like, I don't know. And you and I have discussed Michael Porter Jr. in the last couple of years. I'm not sold on him. Either being a huge difference maker, but Jokic is so good. And if Murray comes back and gives them a little bit of a lift, I think they could be really strong. And I've always believed in Michael Malone. I think he is a great, great coach.
Yeah.
When you factor those things in play with Denver, with Utah, with Phoenix, I think that's what you're looking at as far as the top end.
Utah and Phoenix still good. Denver, I'm kind of one of those. I love Michael Malone. I got to see it.
Yeah.
Lakers in shambles. And then I think, hey, they're the Warriors at this point. Better than expected, but right there kind of in that mix. For Nick Friedell, I'm John Dickinson. Thanks to Craig. Thanks to Sam. Whitey and Shamari are next. Keep it locked right here, 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.